Batch Boy. Overlooking Phoenix. From high above in the Star Worldwide Network studios. Batch Boys. Stories, insight, guests, and true blue humor with retired police sergeant Darren Birch and retired police officer Jason Schechterly. And now, here they are, the Badge Boys.
Welcome back to another edition of the Badge Boys, the show where two cops talk to the community. I'm retired Crime Stopper Sergeant Darren Birch.
I'm retired Phoenix Police Officer Jason Schechterly.
And we have another great show for you. We have Sean Reavy. He created a nonprofit helping children with superheroes, having worked child crimes. These kids love superheroes, and we love these kids. He's helping one child at a time. It's wonderful. Then we go into Cop Talk. We'll talk about COVID-19 and the new reality of stay-at-home orders and how politicians are putting cops in a bad situation. And then we go into the last segment, Stupid Suspect Stories, Heroic Headlines, and Jason's Inspirational Close. So stay tuned, stay informed, and most of all, you're going to be entertained.
More stories, inside guests, and true blue humor coming up on Batch Boys. We'll be back right after this.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
The house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Because I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
Be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arizona National Guard. Aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Move over, AZ. Arizona's move over law requires you to move over or slow down when you drive past any vehicle pulled over with flashing lights. Remember, every vehicle, every time. Move over, AZ.
Sponsored by ADA in partnership with the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to Batch Boys with retired Police Sergeant Darren Birch and retired Police Officer Jason Schechterly. Now, back to the Batch Boys.
Welcome back. So what we have here is a buddy of mine, Sean Reavy. He is with the Phoenix Police Department Child Crimes Unit. And more importantly, or actually as important, he does something to help the children. It has a superheroes theme to it that I just absolutely love. And having worked in child crimes myself as a detective and then as a supervisor, I can't give you enough kudos, Sean. How long have you been in that unit?
Next month, it'll be 6 years.
That's amazing, because as you know, preaching to choir, that's a difficult unit to work.
It's dark.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of sadness there. And so what I'm trying to do is bring a little light not only to the children we see, but it'll help me. It's cathartic for me as well.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, because I was going to talk to you about that. As difficult and daunting as the investigations are dealing with all these sad crimes, because you're not just dealing with the sex crimes, which is horrific enough. You're dealing with neglect. You're dealing with physical abuse. You're dealing with all of it against children. But I can't help but think that you putting on these events, and we'll talk about that, with superheroes and fun and seeing all the laughter, that it's got to be therapeutic for you to allow you to continue your job, because you're putting happiness back into the sad tank. Can you talk about that?
Oh, absolutely. Well, in 2015, I had been in the unit for 2 years. I'd probably investigated 300-400 cases. And it dawned on me rather quickly that I had these little kids for a very short time. And they were coming in confused, sad, afraid. And they were leaving confused, sad, and afraid. And I had an epiphany when I was interviewing a little boy that wasn't opening up to me. And I had no evidence other than what his statement would have been. There's no bio evidence, there's no witnesses, no video. And he just wasn't able to talk to me. So as a last-ditch effort, being a nerd as I am, I just asked him if he liked superheroes. Totally different kid. He sat up straight, we talked for 20 minutes about Iron Man and Spider-Man and the new Avengers movie had just come out, and he told me everything that happened to him after that, because we connected. And I walked out.
He felt safe.
Yeah, he did. And because the problem also that people don't realize, I'm an adult interviewing a child who's been hurt by an adult.
Adult, absolutely.
And it's kind of hard for them to separate the two unless you really try hard to separate yourself from that. And we connected on that level of being
two geeks.
Two geeks. Being both excited about the new movie. Ant-Man had just come out. And then I walked out into the lobby of the Child Help Center and realized, you know, what a difference it might make if we put superhero posters and comic books in the lobby when these kids came in.
A very kind of modest effort, if you will, just put something to make them feel a little comfortable, but it's grown exponentially.
It really did. It went from comic books and posters to me thinking, well, how cool would it be to, as they leave, give them their favorite superhero action figure and t-shirt. And we decided to hold an event that September called Superhero September. We had retired police officers and firefighters dress up like superheroes, nothing fancy. Had the Batmobile from the Colton Cowell Foundation, and it turned into something way bigger than we anticipated. And we took a lot of items into the center that year, and it went from there. And this year is the fifth annual Superhero September. We've raised so much money and in-kind donations that the center couldn't hold it anymore.
And talk a little bit about the center, Child Help, the beneficiary of what you're doing, if you will.
What I do is, or what it is, it's a center where a family can bring their child who has been recently victimized. And within that center, we have Phoenix Children's Hospital. We have the Maricopa County Attorney's Office as an attorney there for us to talk about charging issues. We have victims advocates that meet with the parents to give them proper guidance. We have mental health specialists. If a child is in dire need, they will talk to a mental health therapist. And we have 45 detectives from my unit, the Department of Child Safety and Office of Child Welfare Investigators, all in the same building.
Yeah, that multidisciplinary approach where the child goes to one location and we go to them.
Yes.
And how important is that?
Well, it's big because it also allows the child to only be interviewed once and not retell the horrible abuse that's happened to them. The doctors will watch it on closed circuit with the Department of Child Safety, the detective, the mental health therapist, the sergeants, the attorney. That way we're all hearing it and seeing it at the same time, and it's memorialized on a CD. And if the child needs services, they get it there. They get fed, they get clean clothes, and things of that nature, and the parents get some peace of mind knowing that they don't have to go all over the city to get this done, because this is the worst day of their lives. I mean, they have no idea. I mean,
they can't even fathom it, really.
They can, and nor can most. And a lot of people don't know or don't want to know about what goes on there. They just don't want to hear it. So what I decided to do was marry that horrible abuse with a topic people do like to go see and do, and that is to put the superheroes with them. And that's changed things.
And let's talk about that now. The superheroes, the event, you have something else new coming up?
I have a lot of new things coming up. At the end of last year, we had taken in enough money and items that the Child Help Center just said we didn't have no place to store this anymore, and which is a good problem.
That's a great problem.
because the first couple of years, all we were able to do were action figures and T-shirts. And it made no sense to me to give an action figure to a child who hadn't eaten and had holes in their shoes. So what I wanted to do was raise enough to give them new shoes, new pants, diapers for their brother or sister, food, and things of that nature. So I really started to expand my efforts, and I decided to incorporate my superhero programs into a charitable foundation. I was taken on pro bono by a law firm downtown. We created a new name called Put on the Cape, a foundation for hope. It's a 501c3. I've got a logo and trademarks, and now I'm able to do events all over the state, and I want to raise money for all the advocacy centers in Arizona, not just the one in Central Phoenix, because there's the centers, what people don't realize is centers don't have a budget for food and toys and clean clothing. That's all at the will of the people to give them. So I want to remove that burden, and I want to do enough things, raise enough notoriety and interest for people to want to give to my foundation, and I in turn can give it to all the advocacy centers in the state.
And you know, we've known each other for a while. We didn't work together in child crimes.
No, we didn't.
But I had you on my radio show one time, and we were talking about this, and I was just falling in love. And one of the things that you really hit home with me, because I just wanted to talk, oh my God, Sean, you're amazing, you're this, and you're like, nah, it takes a village. Tell me about the people that have helped you along this way.
I couldn't do what I do without synergy and people helping me. I'm just a guy from Michigan. You know, I'm a nerd.
You're a geek from Michigan.
I'm a geek from Michigan. I had an idea that other people said, you know what, that sounds really cool. How can we help you? And that's how you build anything. You need people to support and, not more
your
importantly,
vision.
Believe in the vision and the message. And without people like Gus Matos, who started a
Heroes United
called Heroes United Arizona, when I incorporated, I rolled Heroes United into my foundation, and Gus is the vice president of my board of directors and in charge of all events. Danielle Gilmore, who formerly worked at Child Help, has moved on. I retained her as my treasurer and secretary. for my foundation. So the team is still intact, all the way up my chain of command. My lieutenant, my sergeant, my commander, the assistant chiefs are like, go do what you do.
Total and blessing, carte blanche.
It's a wonderful thing. In fact, the community has resonated so much with it, and it's turned into what I envisioned in 2015.
It was a dream, wasn't it?
It was. It's something I wanted to do. Because you know the great line I always quote from Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. And when you earn that badge, you have a lot of power. But the responsibility can't stop from your day-to-day of being a police officer. You've got the power to impact a community when you do what you do. It gives a little credibility to what you do. And thankfully, people believed in me. And I just want to continue to make an effort to make people not only talk about child abuse, but come to our events. Because they come to the events and they don't know what we support. And once we tell them, their knees buckle. They have no idea at the magnitude. We had 8,500 kids through the Child Help Center last year, all victims
that
of abuse.
That many sad children.
And that's one center.
Thank you.
One. And so you see the crisis afoot with here. We have 5 kids a day die in the United States from child abuse. And people don't want to talk about that. But if
it's
you
a
get,
tough,
it
tough
is.
Topic.
It is. It's a horrible topic. It's what nightmares are made of, the things that we see and do. And to come to an event and see professional costumed actors, your niece being one, you know, they're movie quality costumes, and they live the
class.
Part. And, you know, they're not for adults, because when an for example, when an adult sees Santa Claus, they see a fat guy in a fake beard and a red coat. a child sees Santa Claus.
Yeah.
So when a child sees my Batman, who's 6'4", 220 pounds, in the bat, they see Batman.
Batman.
They see Superman, and they actually believe they're talking to and seeing, and they ask for autographs, and it's just absolutely insane how this thing has grown.
And I love the idea that not only is it a great, I don't want to say hook or carrot, but, you know, these great, fun superheroes, but there's a commonality. You know, and you talk a lot about that because you definitely know what you're talking about when it comes to comic books. You know, the story, the background behind Bruce Wayne and his sadness. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, superheroes rise up from tragedy. Peter Parker witnessed his uncle being killed. He was bullied relentlessly. He was a twerpy little teenage kid with acne. He was picked on constantly. When he got great power, he became Spider-Man and decided to use that power for good. Batman witnessed his parents die. And he used all of his efforts, money, and skills to become Batman. And that's what we want to show these little kids, that there's an inner hero inside of them. And that's why I named the foundation Put on the Cape. Because once you put a cape on a little kid, it could be a bed sheet, and they think it's a superhero cape, and they'll act accordingly. I've seen it. You've seen it. I mean, it's just insane how these little kids suddenly become a hero. When you give them the action figure, you put on the shirt, you put on the mask and the cape, it just totally transforms them from that sad, broken little kid into a hero. And that's what we want to do. And if we can just change one life, that's a generation we've spared. Because it is generational, sadly. And we have to break that cycle somehow. And this is the way I've decided to do it. And with the help of our community and our sponsors and my board and the people who have just said, what can I do for you? Like you. You know, come on my show and talk about what you do. I can't exist without that. And I just appreciate the support from everybody.
I love the empowerment you give these children with the fun, the smile you give them, and you talk a lot about this, and I love what you talk about, the smile. The kids should be smiling and happy, and can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, a child should be jumping up and down in mud puddles, you know, putting frogs in purses, throwing their parents' cell phone in the toilet. They should be a kid. What they shouldn't be is when they hear the garage door up is run in their closet and lock it. When they're in bed at night, when they hear footsteps, they shouldn't be huddling under the blankets and shaking. But it happens. It happens all the time. You know, you were there at Child Help. You saw exactly what cases that came in. It's a terrible thing. So what we want to do is in their moment of sadness, because honestly, we have them for this much time, and I know it's radio, but I'm holding up my fingers in an inch. Very small amount of time. And I wasn't impacting that child. Sure, we were arresting the bad guys. We're
taking care of the judicial process of it.
Judicial
not
process.
Not the advocacy process.
Yes, the cold, this, here, here's your victim's advocate. I get the story. I go, you know, Fade picks up the bad guy. We interrogate. We book. They're done.
Prosecute.
But what have I done for this child while they were with me? Nothing. So what? This small window when I ask them, and now I've taken pictures with all my superheroes, because we have over 120 superheroes now in Heroes United. So when I'm having trouble talking to a child and I find out they like Spider-Man, I'm like, if I show you a picture of Spider-Man and me, what would you think? You don't know Spider-Man, so I'll show him a picture of one of my cosplayers in Spider-Man, and we're best friends. They absolutely believe I know Spider-Man, and now they're talking to me.
And there's nothing more timely with the success of the Marvel movies. It really is the perfect marriage, isn't it?
It really is. And to see a child change instantly, that they're looking at their feet, they're hiding behind their mom, and we give them an Iron Man action figure, they scream, Iron Man! And they'll take it out of the box and run around the building with it. I mean, it changes them instantly. And simplicity is always the best answer.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Adults don't do that. Children do.
Yeah.
You could give a child a box, and it's not a box. It's the Game of Thrones castle. And they play in it, and they see themselves as a knight, and you put a bed sheet around their neck, they see themselves as Superman. And that's the simplicity of what we do, and it works. It absolutely works.
I found it worked when I was in The Silent Witness. And as a director, I was looking at trying to grow our, our voice out there. You know, it's all about, you know, maybe Silent Witness, but it's that Silent Witness voice helping solve crimes for the community. And I found that Comic-Con was the perfect conduit for that voice because they're want to be crime fighters.
Exactly.
It's all about solving crimes.
It is. And, you know, I like to use the parable also of the little boy on the beach with the starfish. I'm sure everybody's heard that brief story. Storm washes up millions of starfish. Someone sees a little kid tossing the fish back into the ocean. And they ask him what he's doing, and he said, I'm saving these starfish. And he goes, look at all these starfish. You'll never make a difference. And he picked another one up, threw it in the ocean, looked at the guy, and said, I made a difference for that one.
That's it.
When the kids come into the advocacy center, can I solve all the problems in the country? No, but I can solve that, and I can help that child. And that's the way you have to address it, or quite honestly, you'll lose your mind.
It's overwhelming.
You can't do it.
Yeah, you don't look at a marathon and think, you know, the 10,000 steps. You think about that first step.
Right.
So tell me, Sean, with this new world we're in, it's got to be difficult for organizations like yourself that you know, it's all about gathering and this collective united front and people interconnecting with each other. With COVID-19, with the gatherings being diminished and social distancing and all that, how have you had to reinvent yourself in this capacity?
Well, all of this COVID situation started, it came quickly for everybody. And we were in the midst of, we were 2 weeks away from our second annual Superhero 5K. We already had 350 runners signed up, looking to go about 750 when we got the email from the city of Phoenix Parks and said, we're closed. So we had to reinvent, and we did it virtually. We decided we can't gather. This isn't exclusive to us. We have to think out of the box here. But we decided to go virtual with the event, and people picked up their swag. We did it very safely and cautiously by their last name over several hours, and people showed up, picked up their gear, and ran the event that day. But since that day, we've sold, and I just got an order for the virtual 5K on my phone right now. People are signing up around the country, and I never expected to go into 15 different states.
Wow.
With this event. We're from California to North Carolina to Maine, Buffalo, New York, and Illinois, and South Dakota, North Dakota. People are getting their Batman medal and Batman finisher t-shirt, and they're running this race around the country. And that warms my heart because that means our message is going across the country.
Yeah.
And the message is one of hope. And we want to still provide hope to these children because a lot of these kids are inside now with their abusers. And that's something a lot of people don't think about, don't want to think about. But these child centers still need us. They still need people to be a hero. And that's what we're doing.
Yeah, the crimes and pain is still going on. And now we are all locked away and out of sight, out of mind, unfortunately, sometimes. But I love how you took lemons and turned into lemonade, my friend.
Well, that's what superheroes do. And, you know, metaphorically speaking, we all have that capability. I mean, we preach it all the time. Superheroes are born from adversity. And who am I to not practice what I've been preaching?
I love it. For those who are listening that are, because again, this show plays, you know, Chicago, we have a lot of listeners, New York, we have a lot of listeners. For someone listening right now that wants to get involved, based on all the great things you've done as a child crimes detective and the love for giving to these children and the love of these children is to feel that superpower. If there's someone out there listening that wants to get involved, wants to help out, wants to, you know, donate, where would they go, my friend?
Multiple ways, putonthecape.org. That is our main website. There's a donate button right on the main page. Our Superhero 5K, it's called the Put on the Cape, the Virtual Superhero Run. And you can go to eventbrite.com and just put that in the search engine. and just go to our Facebook page, put on the cape, A Foundation for Hope, and I'm creating motivational posters out of our superheroes, and they're being shared internationally, which blew my mind. They're going to Italy and France.
Wow.
And it's a message that resonates with so many people. And our September events, we're probably going to have to postpone a couple of those, but thankfully Spider-Man already has a mask on and gloves, and forget to open so we can take some of the funds, and we're going to go, and we're still going to buy things for these centers. And a lot of my sponsors are hurting, but they're still going to have their name on the events, whether they can sponsor us this year or not. And they were there for me. I'm going to be there for them and give them as much as I can back. So those are the ways we can help. Donate to our cause. 100% of that money is going to the child centers. That is my pledge to everyone. Uh-huh.
I love it. I love what you're doing. FYI, I have a face mask that is the Black Panther. So every time I put it on, I'm thinking of you and all you've done for these kids. Thank you so much. It was wonderful to have you on the show, my friend.
I really appreciate the support, Darren. Thank you, everybody.
We'll be right back.
More stories, inside guests, and true blue humor coming up on Batch Boys. We'll be back right after this.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
The house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Because I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
Be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arizona National Guard. Aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Move over, AZ. Arizona's move over law requires you to move over or slow down when you drive past any vehicle pulled over with flashing lights. Remember, every vehicle, every time. Move over, AZ.
Sponsored by ADOT in partnership with the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to Batch Boys with retired police sergeant Darren Birch and retired police officer Jason Schechterly. Now, back to the Batch Boys.
Welcome back to Batch Boys, everybody. Darren, awesome segment.
Good guy.
He's a great guy. So this episode of Cop Talk, keeping things current, we're going to talk about COVID-19 and the ripple effects. And one of the ripple effects is all across the country, we have different people making different rules. And when I say people, I'm talking about politicians. And as has been well documented, there's not a good politician in the United States. Not one. I know you say there's one, and I'll argue with you to the nth degree, because I think each and every one of them sucks on an epic level. So they're putting police officers in a very precarious situation right now, and what it boils down to is human behavior and human decisions. For example, you had in Michigan recently. Did you see this week the protesters?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
These protesters showed up. They had had enough with their governor. They showed up armed, no masks, and were definitely not abiding by the social distancing. Yet the law enforcement officers in Michigan chose to do nothing and let them what ended up being a peaceful protest. Then you have other states right here in Arizona where our own governor has made rules, and you're seeing top law enforcement officials openly saying in the media, I'm not going to follow that. You came across a video that we're going to talk about first that kind of puts this into perspective of what officers are dealing with and then how these particular officers chose to decide how to handle it.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of the videos, and as a cop, when I see these videos of an officer being aggressive or physical, I know there's more to the story. There's more to the video that you don't see before and so forth. But this particular video bothered me. Unlike most videos when I see a police officer, because I can kind of put myself in that situation.
Sure.
And we know there's more to the story. In this particular situation, and I don't know where the city is, I'll say it's Bodunk, Idaho. Don't know where it's at, but it's two male and female police officer coming up to a home, and you're seeing it from the woman's perspective, the homeowner. You never see her.
She's recording it. It's not body cam.
Yeah, she's either recording it or her friend is recording it. Someone's recording it from her perspective. So you see the officers. And the officer, the male kind of takes lead. He's talking to her about, do you understand what stay-at-home order is? Do you understand that, ma'am? You know, he's saying the words, ma'am. He's being professional, but I think he's being condescending. I think he's being arrogant. I do. He's saying, ma'am, do you understand the order? Do you understand stay-at-home order? Do you understand what that means?
Talking to her like
she's self-explanatory.
Yes, I was going to say it's self-explanatory.
So, and so he keeps doing this, kind of keeps saying it over and over. Finally, she says, sir, I understand. She's being polite. She's being polite. She really is. The part that really bothers me is when he explains why they're there. Ma'am, your little girl was playing with a neighbor's little girl. We have police officers.
How do they know that, though? Who called this in?
It was, what was the show? Remember Bewitched? The show Bewitched?
Oh, yeah.
Gladys?
Yeah.
It was probably neighbor Gladys called it in and said, you know, I saw two little girls that don't live in the same domicile playing together, cats and dogs, raining like hell. Yep. So they are talking to her like she's an idiot. They're there because their two little girls are playing. Are we at that point now where police officers are responding to two little girls playing at same home order? If so, there's a problem.
Well, we are at that point.
And then, thank you. And then the female comes on because now the male's done. We're going to go 10-8. You know, we're going to go back into service.
Yeah.
And the female says, ma'am, I need your name. And that's when the homeowner says, why do you need my name? I just need it for my report. You have to give it to me. You have to give it to me. Nah, you really don't.
I really don't.
Unless you have an arrest and you want to go there, you really don't have to.
Right.
So anyways, it was a lot to do about nothing. And it showed the police, I think, in a bad light. I mean, again, please watch the video and, you know, argue with me because good minds can disagree. We can, at the end, say, yeah, I saw it differently. I just thought it put the police department in whole in a bad light, especially to what your point is, which is we have these stay-at-home orders. Yeah, it's from the governor. Yeah, it's the law. But are we really going to act like this is the crime of the century? Are we really going to enforce it to the point of you know, making arrests? I hope to hell not. I think, you know, is there a citation issued? Yeah, there can be. I hope we don't go there either, because we saw a bunch of idiots on the beach in Florida, and we don't have enough jails for those idiots that were on the beach in Florida. So are we really going to bother mom with the, you know, probably a single mother? That's how it sounded, at least, you know. Are we really going to bother her because she wanted her little girl to have a normal life, if only for a brief 10 minute of time? Yeah, that's my issue, is with, like you were talking about, the orders that are being mandated, whether it's governors, city officials, because it can be a city ordinance. All these things are laws. They are. But we're in such a horrible time, and we're all in this together. We keep saying that. We're all in this together. Then why don't we act like we're in this together?
Amen.
The police aren't the bad guys. Don't put the police officers in that situation.
Well, I can answer your question of we're not in this together, because every single governor is making their own decisions. And you know what? All of you governors are free to call and argue with me, every one of you. I'm not an educated person. I was in the military. I was in law enforcement. I don't have a bunch of degrees. I'll argue with every one of you. Not a single one of you is out there making these decisions based on the safety of your community. You're making them based on your personal agenda and your desire to get reelected. And Darren, you're talking about something a few minutes ago. We have governors who are letting people out of jail. And I'm not talking low-level offenders like, hey, I had some pot and I've been in jail for 3 days, but I want to get away from COVID. We're talking about sexual predators are being released. But then I'm being threatened with 6 months in jail and a $2,500 fine for not wearing a mask. You can't even put into words how irrational and stupid that is when you talk about that, and you break it all the way down. So it starts from the governor, and then as you get all the way down to, you're talking about a couple of cops, and I didn't see the video yet, but based on what you're telling me, I can tell you I completely disagree. You do not need to be rude. You do not need to be condescending. You do not need to treat somebody like a child, and you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. Has that woman lost her job? Has she lost the ability to pay for a babysitter? We don't know the full story.
We don't.
And so for a cop to come in and talk to this woman like she's a child is, that's the reason people don't like cops, because certain ones act like that. But then you get to, so here in Arizona, our governor, who I know personally, who I love,
good guy,
thank the world of, he has made some pretty strict orders that are in effect today. And then you have some other people, high-ranking, in-charge law enforcement officials, who I deeply love and respect, who are openly saying on camera to all of us, nah, I'm not going to follow these rules. And I'm sitting at home going, you know what? Good for you. Because I still think personal responsibility needs to play a bigger part in this. Your freedom's being taken away. When you talk about those protesters in Michigan, I mean, that governor was getting a little bit out of hand. And for everybody out there listening who wants to immediately assume that I'm going to choose one side or the other, I don't care about Republican or Democrat. I am a huge, just fuck every one of you politicians. So that's where I'm speaking from. But in Michigan, they were told you cannot drive by yourself in your car from point A to point B to a house that you live in.
Yes.
Never coming into contact with anybody, nope. Never talking to anybody, never putting anybody in danger. That all of a sudden became a crime.
What?
You could not go to a second home in Michigan.
You could not drive to your second home alone without being arrested. You could not be out on a boat, on a lake,
no.
Fishing by yourself without being arrested. And again, sexual predators and other high-level offenders are getting released from prison. So the ridiculousness of what we are talking about, I should be able to choose, and I freely do. I choose where I'm going to go. I choose if and when I wear a mask. I choose to have my personal concerns about the safety for others, the safety for my children. I don't need the governor of Arizona or any other state to say one way or the other. And I haven't been a cop in a long time. I can't honestly say what I would do right now. I'd like to believe that I would be in my patrol car right now chuckling. Like, okay, if I go on a call to a bar and where the owner said, you know what, I'm losing my business, I'm opening this bar, people want to come in and drink, I'd probably walk in and say, you know, this is, you guys better be careful. This is against the law right now. You're putting a lot of people in danger. But would I write a citation? Would I make an arrest? Hell no. That's just ridiculous. And I'm not saying the cops who do it are wrong, because, again, we're talking about human behavior, and they are under a lot of pressure from when you're, you know, from the military and law enforcement. It's not just your decision. It's your immediate supervisor, what you were told in briefing. It's their supervisor, the supervisor above them, all the way up to the chief, all the way up to the city managers, the city council. It goes on and on and on, and the pressure can build right down to the lowest level. And it's very poignant, the video that you explained, because I think that puts it into perspective. This guy did not roll out of bed, this male police officer did not roll out of bed this morning saying, you know what, I am going to find a house on a random street with a mom and a young child, and I'm going to berate her. That didn't happen. A lot of other things came into play, and I'm just, it's appalling that it's come to that, but you're going to see this as we continue on the journey.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up Michigan, because those two cases that you're talking about with child predators, that was Michigan. Predators released from prison from Michigan, the same place where you can't go out on a boat by yourself, same place where you can't visit your second home.
I'm going to go to jail for not wearing a mask,
but sexual predators
a pedophile,
yes.
Hey, we don't want you to get COVID, so why don't you run free. That
what happens when that predator breaks in a house and tries to molest someone's child and they shoot him? Are they going to go to prison for that too?
Robin, that's the point. You're missing. These politicians don't care.
They don't give a
care.
Shit. No.
And let's talk a little bit about politicians. I got an article here. New York's mayor, and it actually said New York's disgraced mayor. But
Wait.
Yes?
Are we talking about Bill de Blasio?
We are.
The biggest dick in the world?
Yep. Bill de Blasio. He seriously issued a memo from his office to his residents on how to have sex during the stay-at-home orders.
What?
Yes. Yep. My favorite part, quote, "You are your safest sex partner." Beautiful, beautiful thoughts. Thank you, Bill. Safest sex partner.
You and you alone.
Take the situation in hand. Yes.
He's openly saying be alone and masturbate during COVID.
Not only is he kind of saying that, he said it. Quote, "Masturbation will not spread COVID-19, especially if you wash your hands and any sex toys with soap and water for at least 20 seconds before and after sex." Yeah, this is from a mayor. So we are stuck with these horrible politicians that are having their own weird stay-at-home orders, you know, talking about sex. Can you get your head out of the gutter, Bill?
He issued this as a public statement?
Yeah, this was a memo. Yeah, and it goes on. There's a lot of things in this memo.
Mayor de Blasio is so far out.
I'm sorry,
New York. Lives in an entire different realm of reality than the rest of us. I hate this guy.
I had such a wonderful April Fool's joke I was going to play. We were going to have Bill de Blasio on our show, and I was just an actor friend of mine, and I was just going to have fun with him.
We need to do that.
Next April Fool's.
I'd have a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I would have a lot of fun.
Yeah. Especially if I didn't tell you it was April Fool's and you thought we really had Bill.
Well, that guy would have been the human punching bag for Jason.
He's never going to listen to our show, but I would give literally anything for him to call in because if you said, "Hey, is there anybody you'd like to sit down and really have a conversation with?" It'd be that guy. But you know that my hatred comes from his
standpoint.
Hatred and treatment of law enforcement. Yeah. He has New York is a city I love. NYPD is a department that I deeply love. I have a son who's going to be living in New York City, and I am riddled with fear simply because of the guy who runs that city. He's just a world-class idiot.
Cops have to have someone. We all have to have someone, a boss, who has your back. And he is the boss's boss's boss in New York. He's the mayor. He's in charge. And when your boss doesn't have your back to the point where he actually will put a knife in your back, then there's a problem. And that goes back to the COVID-19 stay-at-home order. When you have politicians that are creating very ambiguous laws from city to city, from county to county, from state to state, and they all are different, and you have a zero tolerance, as we called it back in the day when there are certain things that were zero tolerance. And it's a directive.
Those are the words that Ducey just used last week in his briefing. Zero tolerance.
That's
right now.
Scary because police officers have to have discretion because otherwise you're going to have this video playing out all over across America. And we're not the bad guys. We shouldn't be forced to be the bad guy in a tyranny state. That's not what police are today. Police are there to protect, help, serve, be part of the community. We've spent so many years, decades, from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s talking about community-based policing, where we're part of the community. So when you put us in a precarious situation, a you-can't-win scenario, where we're enforcing, like, the SS, these stupid stormtrooper rules, you have to stay at home, ma'am, you can't have your kid playing with another kid, and I'm going to throw your ass in jail, then you're putting officers across the department in a bad light. So to your friend, these sheriffs, to these police chiefs that are saying, wait a minute, enough's enough. Let's be reasonable with this. I understand the zero tolerance, but I also understand discretion will create a safe place for everybody, but we're not going to come in like stormtroopers.
Yeah, I completely agree. And the sheriff I was talking about, one of my good friends is Sheriff Mark Lamb, and he's in charge of Pinal County. He's,
good guy.
He's on A&E's live PD all the time. He's a guy that nonstop wears the cowboy hat. And I love this guy very much. And the way he explained it was with humility and with respect to the job, but he is standing up for the people in his county that elected him, and that's who his responsibility is to. So I am 100% on his side, and I don't know how this is going to play out. I don't know if he'll end up, you know, facing consequences. I don't know how far this is going to go, but I still firmly believe that the politicians, and Mark Lamb, for all intents and purposes, he is a politician because he's
elected.
He is elected, but he's a law enforcement officer. So when I talk about how much I hate politicians, it's not going to be a county sheriff because they're still a cop, and there are a few in the country who.
Some are very political.
We've had one or two here that were questionable. So that goes out throughout the country. But I give credit to Mark Lamb for saying, you know what, my responsibility is to the people in my county. And if you do things responsibly, I'm not going to cite you. I'm not going to arrest you. And I wish that, again, personal responsibility needs to be a big part of this. I go, are we live in studio right now?
No.
Yeah. Yes, we are. We're in studio.
Well, we're live. Oh, we're alive.
But we're in studio.
Yes.
We're not at home. We are not calling in.
It's not remote.
We are here in studio.
Mm-hmm.
And when I leave here, if I want to stop at the store, if I want to stop somewhere else, I'm going to, and I'm going to put on a mask. And it could happen. Maybe I will run across an officer who's just like, hey, I'm going to follow the rules and you're going to get cited or you're going to get this. I don't agree with this because my view on it is people are losing a ton of money. And what we don't talk about enough is the death rate on COVID-19 and the people who are affected are already very vulnerable for the most part. Is they have underlying conditions. We talked about it off air. You've lost a couple friends.
Yeah.
In the last couple weeks, both of them had underlying conditions. They weren't healthy. They didn't walk into a place that they shouldn't have. And then the governor can jump on and go, see, look at that. That guy died because of that.
But somebody asymptomatic could provide it to someone who has a relative who has underlying. So there, my issue is there a concern with COVID-19? Absolutely.
Of course there is. It's the worst thing I've seen in my lifetime.
In my lifetime,
it's the worst thing I've ever seen.
And is there some ridiculous stay-at-home orders from Michigan? Yes. With all this, can there be? It's not a mutual exclusive. You know, both can exist, and we need to understand that and be a little bit tolerant and show discretion.
Both have to exist. They're not. It's not going to go away.
Exactly.
People still need to go to work. People still need to earn a living, or else we're going to go back to the ripple effects are going to get a whole lot worse, all because of this almost dictatorial decisions. And one person...
Tyranny. The word tyranny comes to mind.
And this goes back to the whole thing. We do not... A lot of people don't think in these terms. We do not live... in a democracy.
No.
Everybody thinks we do.
Nope.
It's a democracy. You have so much freedoms. No.
It's a republic.
We live in a republic, and what that means is we vote for whoever, you know, says the right things during their campaign, and then they are free to make any decision they want to
on our behalf.
That's not a democracy. And so you see that with these different governors and what they're doing. And again, I love Doug Ducey, personal friend of his, and I wish the best for him. 100% disagree with him right now and want the state of Arizona. And we're going to start opening. We got phase one coming up next week. We got phase two a couple weeks after that. And hopefully within 2 months or so, we're going to be back on track. What happens when we see a spike in COVID in the fall and in the winter when it comes back like flu season? Are we going to shut down again and go through all this? I don't know. And I'm not a doctor. I'm not saying I'm right or wrong, but I take care of myself and my family's health with personal responsibility. And I think we all should have a little bit more entitlement to do just that, because we still live in the United States of America, and the politicians do not get to just blatantly say, fuck your freedoms, and this is how you're going to do things. All right, I'm done with my rant. Apologize to everybody that I offended. Not really, but...
I love it when you get fired up.
Oh my God, this just... anytime we talk about this political stuff, I do get fired up. You're
so passionate, but that's a great thing.
Yeah. Need be said, buddy.
So anyway, I wish, and all you line level cops out there, you're not right or wrong in your decision.
You're in a bad situation.
You're in a tough situation, but I hope that all of you still, no matter what you have going on behind your closed doors, wake up every morning and remember why you put your name on the application and treat everybody with respect and understand that everybody has a story.
We're all in this together.
We are all in this together, and man, if we acted like it, wow, I can't even, what a dream.
Right.
That'd be great.
Let's go back to 9/12/2001.
Shit. That, Rob, yeah, don't no get me started on that. We'll never see that again.
No.
Well, hopefully we'll never see a 9/11 again.
No.
And a reason for a 9/12, but you're right. That would be, I don't know how we completely lost touch with that. So, all right, enough of that. We will be right back with a heroic headline. And, of course, the point where I take... No.
That one doesn't get him anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't. Now that I have the pee-pee doll sitting behind my shoulder, the cat story is over and done with. Darren.
Now it's staring him in the face.
But I'm sure Darren will find a way to offend me and as always, the state of Florida during
always.
This show. So we'll be right back.
More stories, inside guests, and true blue humor coming up on Batch Boys. We'll be back right after this.
Move over, AZ. Arizona's move over law requires you to move over or slow down when you drive past any vehicle pulled over with flashing lights. Remember, every vehicle, every time. Move over, AZ.
Sponsored by ADOT in partnership with the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'll never forget.
Never forget that moment.
As long as I live. My first call up ever as a member of the National Guard.
When we got to the armory, they briefed us on the wildfires. They were getting dangerously close to homes.
Helicopters were going out to drop water on the fires.
Guys in the unit were preparing for firefighting with local fire crews.
At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arizona National Guard. Aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to Batch Boys with retired police sergeant Darren Birch and retired police officer Jason Schechterly. Now, back to the Batch Boys.
That was a great cop talk, Robin. We got Jason all fired up.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
If you stopped talking about political decisions, you would not have that problem. I'd be a nice, everybody thinks I'm like this nice, positive guy all the time, and then you guys get me in here
all
yelling,
fired
and,
up.
Yelling and screaming and saying the F word all the time.
What's wrong with that, though? We like it. It's entertaining.
I know you guys get entertained.
You are our hero. Well, and what a perfect segue for the heroic headline.
Yeah, this week is just simply a feel-good, because we all need it, story. And it comes out of Lawrenceville, Georgia. A baby born in the middle of a car crash.
Oh, my gosh.
Was rescued by police officers after her mother was unable to find her in the wreck. Can you imagine having a baby in the middle of a car crash? I mean, that's just crazy. Kristen Dew was in labor and being rushed to the hospital by her mother on April 13th when the vehicle hydroplaned and struck a gate outside of a Hindu temple. Anderson told Fox 5 in Atlanta that the baby popped out right before the crash. So she gave birth before the crash even happened.
Wow.
To a brand new infant baby. And when the car came to a rest after the collision, she could not locate the newborn. Lilburn police officers arrived on the scene, and doing her mother, Chris Yvette, tried to explain what happened. I'm sure the cops were like, what?
It just
no
shot
citation.
Out.
You gave birth 30 seconds ago and then crashed your car. That's not something that they teach us in the academy. And what was happened was shown on body camera in footage of the incident. The officer just simply asked, where's the baby at? In her womb, Yvette told him she was giving birth. Bride and a fellow officer, Sapita Huff, searched the totaled vehicle. And within a few minutes, Huff managed to find newborn Sia Anderson tucked into a space under the middle seat of the SUV. The baby was born premature, but was unharmed in the collision and is safe and sound. So my heroes this week are not only that mother for giving birth and then wrecking her car. I mean, Jesus.
Crazy.
That's, you talk about having a rough few hours.
Wow.
But credit to these police officers, because this goes to show you, you know, we talk about it all the time in law enforcement. A lot of times you get details of a call. Hot call, guy with a gun, shooting. You get a little time to mentally
prepare yourself.
Prepare, think about your training. Like, all right, here's how I'm going to do things tactically. But there are certain calls that you show prepare. Up. And you talk about time slowing down. Like, what? What didn't you just tell me? You gave birth? When? And, well, like 30 seconds ago.
It's like the ultimate excuse.
As you're staring at a total vehicle. So for these officers to just simply listen to what was said and immediately go into action, find this baby, and everybody now is safe and sound. And I think that's beautiful. So shout out to the Lawrenceville police officers. Way to honor the badge.
I love it. I love it. All right. Also like the idea that that's a great excuse for getting a car accident. I'm going to try it next time.
No. You know what? Hey, if I ever pulled over somebody where the woman was like, I'm in labor trying to get to the hospital, I'm like, I'll give you an escort. Let's go. I'm not going to write you a ticket or even talk to you for a while.
Did you just miss what he said? He would try that excuse.
Yeah.
He can't have a baby. That would hurt like hell.
Hey, listen. I'm going to give it a shot. You have no idea what Darren's capable of.
I'm learning new things every day.
And to bring us even deeper into the bowels of humanity.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, our stupid suspect stories.
Please do.
Police arrest illegal immigrant for spitting on hundreds of dollars worth of fresh fruit in a grocery store. You know, the whole COVID-19, people are getting kind of whacked out. We've talked about it during Cop Talk. Cabin fever kicking in, I think. This is in, yes, Florida, Volusia County. An illegal immigrant has been arrested in Florida after she spit on hundreds of dollars worth of fresh fruit in the grocery store. During what's obviously a heightened stress surrounding everybody's health, Lisette Santis, a 40-year-old, again, illegal immigrant, I keep saying that, but it's in the article, from Guatemala, was arrested and charged with reckless tampering of a product, risking injury or death after she spit on the fruit in a local Walmart. Poor Walmart. The incident happened on April 22nd, and Walmart employees witnessed the whole thing. They said Santis opened a sealed bag of guava and started eating the fruit, then spit on the fresh limes. You know how you put the lime in the coconut and you spit it all out? You do. She then left some of the chewed guava in the lime bin. From there, employees saw her spit all over oranges. So it wasn't just lime she was pissed off at. She was also, you know, had issues with the oranges, apparently, as well. She spit this guava juice everywhere. When they ran the numbers, the employees found that it was $350 worth of produce that she destroyed, because they had to throw it all out. When asked why she had spit on the fruit, she simply said, quote, I don't know, just cause. And I got a feeling she said it like that, just cause. She told them she didn't have coronavirus and smiled and laughed about the whole thing. Again, I think this is cabin fever kick in. She is now being held without bail at the county jail. Immigration, Customs Enforcement, ICE has been contacted, and she will be deported. I hope it was worth it.
Bye, baby. I don't know.
Yeah, and again, more spitting and licking of items in stores. This is in South Lake Tahoe, California. A woman ventured inside a Safeway grocery store and contaminated nearly $2,000 worth of merchandise, all without the means to pay a single dime. Employees from the South Lake Tahoe grocery store say that Jennifer Walker had licked, so at least she didn't spit, she licked, on pieces of jewelry and grocery items placed in her shopping cart. Yep, she went around the store putting stuff in their shopping cart, but first licking each item. From there, she had allegedly licked her fingers before grabbing other items. Let's see, it goes on. Police later arrested the woman under charges of felony vandalism. She is now sitting inside the El Dorado County Jail under a $10,000 bond. It's unclear whether she'll also face charges of making terrorist threats. And the reason I say that, because if you say you have coronavirus and you spit on somebody's face or you contaminate a large area, it could be construed as terrorism. For example, this man in a video recorded himself at, again, a Walmart store. He said that he had COVID-19. On March 11th, the 26-year-old Cody Pfeiffer videotaped himself sliding his tongue across displayed merchandise inside a Walmart store and said, quote, "Who's afraid of the coronavirus? And I'm a nasty motherfucker." Yeah, nice guy. However,
Can't say that on air.
Yeah, he did. He did. He did on video. However, using an ongoing pandemic-related virus to attempt this went viral. Police obviously took very serious. Quote, "We take these complaints very seriously and would like to thank all of those who reported the video so the issue could be addressed." This video went viral. They had people calling in from overseas, and he was caught. And now he is going to pay the price. So that is our stupid suspects. Wow. A bunch of spitters, lickers, and videotapers.
Well, you know, we'll see how much of a nasty mother effer he is when he meets Bubba, his new prison buddy.
And what are you in for? Licking. Felony licking.
Come in my cell, buddy.
I got something you're going to lick.
Robin is so kind. She said, "Mother effer."
Well, I can say motherfucker.
It was a quote. I had to go there. You know, I don't like saying. I don't like cussing. You know me. I don't.
How often do you think our boss on this show listens and goes?
Hopefully, he doesn't hear the MFing. Yeah, I'm with you, brother.
I don't know if Dave listens, but if he does, he's probably like, Jesus,
"It's still the
guys.
Best show we have going on in the network, so we can do what we
Thanks
want."
Thanks to our producer.
Thanks.
Oh no!
Our producer.
It's your teamwork, man. It's the teamwork makes the dream.
You inspire us, but right now we're going to be inspired by our very own Jason Shepard.
Well, I will admit, I am, just like everybody else, I am in search of inspiration because, you know, my life has changed greatly like everybody else's. I'm no longer traveling. I'm no longer giving speeches. I'm no longer meeting different people and hearing different stories, the things that used to inspire me greatly. So, like everybody, I have to sometimes tune into my favorite playlist, or I have to call somebody that I know is going to do something for me. So I'm always looking for something. And I found this story this week. It goes back to that old statement that everything we need to know about life we learned in kindergarten. And this is about actually a first grader named Kavanaugh Bell, a 7-year-old out of Gaithersburg, Maryland, and he wanted to help local senior citizens, the most vulnerable, the most affected by the COVID-19. And this first grader generously used, ready for this, $600 of his own money that he had been saving from all of his birthdays and Christmas money, and he put that together in a coronavirus care pack for seniors, and the care packs included cereal, tea, fresh fruit, canned goods, mouthwash, and a bottle of bleach. I love how this kid's mind works. Yeah, very mature. He's going to do great things someday, along with a hot meal from a local restaurant. And then the young man went door to door delivering these packages to the elderly. So, you know what? If somebody who is 7 years old can find in his heart how to be kind and help other people, so can we. So let's try to ignore the noise, the politicians, and the stress that we're under. And do not ever forget, if you make somebody else's life better, you can never, ever be a failure. God bless everybody. Best of luck. And we will see you next week.
Batch Boy. Thanks for listening to Batch Boys. Stories, insights, guests, and true blue humor with retired police sergeant Darren Birch and retired police officer Jason Schechterly. Batch Boys, heard weekly and worldwide on Star Worldwide networks and all mobile devices. Batch Boys.